So we'll do 35 through 38 simultaneously, and then responsively we can do 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So text 35 and 36. Ichevam darsayantasta yastas chirur gopya vichetasaha yam gopim anayat krishna vihayaya shriyovane sacha mene tatadnanam varishtam sarvayoshitam hitva gopi kamayana yama so bhajate priya. Translation: as the gopis wandered about, their minds completely bewildered, they pointed out various signs of Krishna's pastimes. The particular gopi whom Krishna had led into a secluded forest when he had abandoned all the other young girls began to think herself the best of women. My beloved has rejected all the other gopis, she thought, even though they are driven by Cupid himself. He has chosen to reciprocate with me alone. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Previously, all the gopis had become proud of their association with Krishna and then suddenly lost his association. Only Radharani remained with him. Now she has also become proud of that association and will suffer a similar fate. The Lord arranges all this to reveal the gopis' unparalleled devotion for him. I would like to repeat that. The Lord arranges all this to reveal the gopis' unparalleled devotion for him, a devotion whose intensity fully manifests in moments of separation. Text 37. Tato gatva vado desham dripta keshavam abravit na parayaham chalitam nayamam yatrate manaha. Translation: as the two lovers passed through one part of the Vrindavan forest, the special gopi began feeling proud of herself. She told Lord Keshava, I cannot walk any further. Please carry me wherever you want to go. 38. Evam ukta priya maha skanda aru yatamiti tatas chanda dade krishna savadur anvatapyata. Translation: thus addressed, Lord Krishna replied, just climb on my shoulder. But as soon as he said this, he disappeared. His beloved consort then immediately felt great remorse. Purport: Srimati Radharani was exhibiting the pride of a beautiful girl who has brought her boyfriend under control. Thus she told Krishna, please carry me wherever you want to go. I can't walk anymore. Sri Krishna now disappears from her sight, intensifying her ecstatic love more and more. And 39, we can do responsively. Hanata Ramana Prishta Kwasi Kwasi Mahabuja Dasyaste Kripanayame Sake Darsaya Sadinim. Hanata Ramana Prishta Kwasi Kwasi Mahabuja Dasyaste Kripanayame Sake darsaya sanindim. Please chant. Nata, master. Ramana, lover. Prishta, demos. Kwa asi. Where are you? Where are you? Mahabhuja, almighty armed one. Dasyaha, to the maidservant. Te, your. Kripanayaha, wretched. Me, me. Sakhe, O friend. Darshaya, please show. Sanidim, your presence. Translation. She cried out, O master, my lover, O dear most, where are you? Where are you? Please, O mighty armed one, O friend, show yourself to me, your poor servant. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes the following moving exchange. Radha says, my lord, I am being burned in the great fire of separation from you, and my life air is about to leave my body. Even with the greatest endeavor, I cannot maintain my life. But you are the lord of my life, and so you can quickly save me simply by glancing upon me. Please do so immediately. I beg you to save my life, not for my sake, but rather for yours. After giving up all the other gopis, you've brought me so far to a secluded place in the forest just to enjoy special pleasure with me. If I die, you will not be able to find conjugal happiness anywhere else. You will remember me and thus lament in your sorrow. Krishna replies, so let me become unhappy. What does that matter to you? But you are most dear to me. I will feel your unhappiness millions of times more than you. Even if I have already died, I still will not be able to tolerate the pain that even one spot on the nails of your lotus feet may experience. Indeed, to prevent such pain, I am ready to throw myself away millions and millions of times. Let's throw my life away. So kindly show yourself and drive away that unhappiness. But if your life air is on the verge of leaving your body. What can I do to stop that? As Krishna is saying, simply by the touch of your arms, which are a medicinal herb with the power to revive the dead, my body will return to its healthy, normal condition, and my life air will automatically come back and remain in my body. But you know this forest path yourself without my help. So why did you order me? The king's son and a very young and gentle boy, who is to be respected. Why did you command? Take me wherever you wish. Why do you anger me like this? Radha cries out, please show yourself to your wretched maidservants. Be merciful to me. Be merciful. When I ordered you, I was overcome by sleepiness. I was so tired from playing with you. Therefore, please excuse what your poor servant said. Please don't be angry. It was only because you treated me like such a close friend, though I am unworthy, that I spoke like that to you. All right, my love. I am very pleased with you, so please come to me. But I have been blinded by lamentation. I can't see where you are. Please tell me where you are. Om Gyanatim Lasya Ganajanashalaka Chakshur Nirtanyana Tasmai Shri Guru Vilama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutalishmati Shri Guru Vaukavichi Namana Shri Shri Guru Matavivya Parapapanka Chitayana Kuripara Nagarana Mashri Vavi. So, his pastimes continue with Krishna hiding himself from the presence of the gopis, and here in particular from the topmost gopi, Srimati Radharani. Here Srimati Radharani is lamenting her mistake or her action of pride in addressing Lord Krishna. So, here I want to read Srila Prabhupada's purport on this in his Krishna book. Actually, the first day I came to Krishna consciousness, I was given a gift of the Bhagavad Gita. And then the next time I came, I was given this book, the Krishna book. Of course, not knowing the importance of it, I didn't, you know, just came here. I didn't take the best care of it, and now the cover is falling off, but I still have it. This was back in February of 1983. So I'm happy to still hold on to it. So here, Srila Prabhupada, in his explanation in Krishna book on this chapter, chapter 30, says, of course he's talking about how Krishna has disappeared from the gopis. He has disappeared because of our pride, these gopis are saying. The gopis were aware of the reason for Krishna's sudden disappearance. They could understand that when they were enjoying Krishna, they thought themselves to be the most fortunate woman within the universe. And since they were feeling proud, Krishna disappeared immediately, just to curb their pride. Krishna does not like his devotees to be proud of their service to him. It's a very strong statement. He accepts everyone's service, but he does not like one devotee to be prouder than others. If sometimes there are such feelings, Krishna ends them by changing his attitude towards the devotee. So this is very, very instructive of our position in Krishna consciousness, of how we should approach and how we should understand things. Srila Prabhupada gave a similar instruction in his purport, in the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, I think chapter 14, the Pandavas' retired family. This was after Lord Krishna left the Pandavas after the Mahabharata war. He went back to his capital. Arjuna went there to visit him. He spent 7 months. Then he returned. So when he returned, he was very, very dejected. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was inquiring from him, what's the cause of your rejection? How can such a personality like yourself, who is like half a demigod, being he's the son of Indra, he was able to sit on a half elevated seat in the kingdom of heaven when he went to visit his father Indra in his self same body, such a great elevated personality, such a powerful person, the greatest of Kshatriyas, greatest of warriors. How can he be so dejected? And so then Arjuna, after composing himself for a little while, he spoke this verse. Arjuna vacha panchitoham maharaja harina bandana rupina yena me paritam tejo devo vishwam punam mahat. In translation, Arjuna said, O king, the supreme personality of Godhead Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus my astounding power, which astonished even the demigods, is no longer with me. And there's a very extensive purport here. Srila Prabhupada makes this very same point, that no one should feel proud or puffed up with his position. So actually what happened after Krishna left, all of Arjuna's powers disappeared because they weren't any longer required to carry out the Lord's mission of incarnation. Arjuna was particularly empowered to perform his duty and to expound such extraordinary strength. So now that wasn't necessary, Krishna withdrew. Krishna also disappeared and he withdrew all of that. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining that no one should feel proud about his position in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we should feel proud that we are here in Krishna consciousness, but we shouldn't feel, I hope I'm not confusing myself or anyone, we shouldn't be proud that we're actually, okay, we are advancing Krishna consciousness, therefore that's like that kind of pride. But we should have the pride that some or the other, out of everything in this material world, that we are able to accept the path of Krishna consciousness. So that kind of pride we should feel. So this is explained by Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Srimati Radharani as to what attitude one should have in Krishna consciousness, how one should behave. And in his third verse of Shikshashtaka, Trinada Pisa Nichena Tarora Pisa Hisnuna Amanena Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhari, that one should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So chanting the holy names of the Lord constantly means engaging in devotional service constantly. So this is there. One must have this humble state of mind. Actually, in reciprocation to our services, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, my Guru Dada, he gave me one plaque of verses from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, which for me is more of an instruction. It's verses from his Daso Asmi prayers. And it says, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says, it says that in this world of trials and tribulations, a verse to the Lord, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends of Hari Bhajan. So that's one of his quotes. So there, the same thing is there, patience, humility, that we have to accept this humble position. I remember many years ago, Bhakti Charu Swami, he was Brahmachari then, he told us a story. He told a story when he was Brahmachari. So I think he was in Mayapur, he was Srila Prabhupada's secretary, and Srila Prabhupada's servant, I believe was Upendra Prabhu at the time, they were outside of Srila Prabhupada's room and they ended up in a fight. So they were fighting. So Bhakti Charu, Brahmachari at that time decided, well, he's going to be the first one to run into complain to Srila Prabhupada, because if he complains first, then maybe Srila Prabhupada would, you know, take his side of the story. So he ran in Srila Prabhupada's room, and before he can start complaining, Srila Prabhupada said, I was there at the window watching the two of you for the past 30 minutes. Then he said, the first sign of a devotee's advancement is how humble one becomes. He said from then, he never complained again. So this is the attitude that one has to carry in our service, in Krishna consciousness, towards ourselves, towards the Lord, towards the different devotees. And if this attitude is there, then we find that everything will just fall rightly in line. So here, Srimati Radharani showed this pride, and immediately Krishna take himself away to cut this whole situation. So it's explaining that Srimati Radharani immediately recollected herself. But we also understand that Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee of the Lord, being the greatest personality, the greatest servant. Then it becomes a question. Before I go to that, here there's an excerpt from Lochanadas Thakur in his very book Chaitanya Mangala. It says here, while Krishna was staying in the palace of Rukmini Devi, his chief queen. Thus then, upon learning that Sri Krishna would soon appear on earth in a golden form, with the golden luster and devotional mood of Radharani, Rukmini Devi became deeply troubled. Feeling separation from the Lord, she fell at the lotus feet of Krishna and began praising the qualities of Sri Radha, whose devotion was so glorious that Krishna wanted to honor her by assuming her luster and mood. So this is a question, at least, that aroused in my mind that Srimati Radharani, such a great personality, the best of devotees, that how come she succumbed to such a thing as to have pride or become proud in her service to Krishna? How is that possible? Srimati Radharani, as we know, is the greatest personality that understand Sri Krishna, understand Krishna, and knows all the different angles of scripture and how to give him the highest pleasure, how to serve him in such a way that gives him the highest pleasure. That she is so learned that her name is Hari Rasa Pandita. That's one of her names. That she understands the highest rasa of Lord Hari. She's the greatest pandit in that of understanding that rasa, and the greatest personality. So how come she became succumbed to such a situation of this pride? Also that all these other gopis, sometimes in his book, Srila Jiva Goswami, in his 24th chapter of his book describing the same pastimes, one part is described as hundreds of gopis, and the other page it says millions of gopis. So these gopis, some of them were Munichari gopis. They were formerly saints and sages who were very, very learned in the scriptures, understood devotional service to such an extent, and then they became gopis to be able to reciprocate in this way with Lord Krishna. So they were extremely learned personalities, extremely advanced in devotional service. And among them, Radharani was the topmost. So Radharani was such a great personality that to give Krishna the highest pleasure and treat, that she even created her own dam. And this is described as the Mayapur Dam, explaining why Lord Chaitanya appeared there. This is explained in her glories, that she personally created that dam, and it's called Mayapur because it's the Lord's internal illusion. So it's being covered. Only great devotees can understand it. And thus the name Mayapur Malini, that the heart is changed to Mayapur. So Radharani is such a great personality, so then how come she succumbed to such a situation? From a standard point of view, we can understand that it's not possible for Radharani to be proud in her service to Sri Krishna. Something is really different here. And that's why I repeated this part of this verse, this purport, twice here earlier on, that the Lord arranges all this to reveal the gopis' unparalleled devotion for him, a devotion whose intensity fully manifests in moments of separation. So, as we all understand, Krishna, basically he enjoys, and different energies makes all these arrangements. So, Sri Kavikarnapur, in his book, in his description of these pastimes, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, which I think Madan Mohan Prabhu was quoting yesterday and describing part of, explains why Radharani showed this pride. Because while she was there with Krishna, being the greatest servitor of the Lord, her only desire, her only intention is to offer Krishna the greatest of pleasure. So then she began thinking that if Krishna took her away alone, then he wouldn't be enjoying as much, that he has the right to enjoy everyone. He has the right to enjoy with all these gopis, and he has the right to receive the pleasure from the entire universe. So that's the way she was thinking. So then she was thinking that how can I do something that will change the situation so that Krishna can experience his highest pleasure? So she's thinking that the pleasure with her alone is not the highest pleasure, that if Krishna can get his service of everyone, then that would be the greater pleasure for her or for Krishna. So that's Radharani's mood as the greatest devotee, as to what way she can function so that Krishna gets the best of benefit. So that is the mood of the devotee. And this Lord Chaitanya, in Radharani's mood, of course, in his last of the Shikshashtaka verses, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So, in a similar mood here, Radharani is thinking that she knew that if she manifests her pride, this would happen. So according to Srila Kavikarnapur, it's Radharani who made this arrangement for herself to become proud so that Krishna can enjoy on the greater level and not with her only. That's the way Srila Kavikarnapur Prabhu put it over. So then she manifests this pride. So once she did that, then Krishna immediately reciprocated by disappearing and appears to be angry. Even in Srila Prabhupada's purport on this verse, his summary study on this chapter, if you read on more, Srila Prabhupada explains a little bit more of this too. So it was Radharani's arrangement that she present herself in this way so that Krishna can disappear, and then he can come back, as we would learn later, to get on this higher level of enjoying with all these gopis, all the devotees, and his pleasure can be increased. So this is her mood, and as her followers, this should be our mood also. What we can do to enhance Krishna's pastimes, what we can do to enhance his pleasure, what we can do to encourage others to partake and participate in his activities and his worship. So these are some brief thoughts I have on these verses. So if anyone has any questions or comments. Yeah. What's your name again, Prabhu? Mathura. Mathura. Sorry, I have a bad memory. Somebody else was thinking Mukunda.
Yeah. I'm bad with names too. I don't feel bad. Thank you for your class. Very nice. I was wondering, I thought after that point where Arjuna went through that instance where he was powerless with the queens, and that the Pandavas continued to rule for some time. So didn't he need their power? Didn't he have his power for them ruling the kingdom after that? Didn't it just go away for that instant to show him he was powerless without the mercy of Krishna?
No, he had powers, but just enough what was needed for him to carry on as a king. Because after the Mahabharata war, there was no more opposition for the Pandavas. Everyone was in harmony. The kingdom was ruled very nicely. Arjuna had tremendous powers left, but not as was required at the time of the Mahabharata war. Because he had to face personalities like his teachers, his grandfather, Dronacharya, Bhishma Dev, so much great personalities. So Krishna empowered him. But after that, those powers weren't required anymore for Krishna's incarnation, his pastimes. So just enough energy and power to carry on the kingdom, carry on the Dharma, that was required. So that was what he had left.
I thought we're in this instance, though, when it was cowherd men who came, and he wasn't even able to defend against them.
Yeah, right.
Which was like he had nothing. He could hardly even shoot his Gandiva bow. So this is what I'm.
Yeah, I can understand your point. So basically, with all at that time, he had nothing there to even defeat them, because it described, Ridhananda Maharaj described in his Mahabharata some more details on that these cowherd men, they weren't ordinary people also. Vidala came as like dacoits or whatever. They weren't ordinary personalities. So they were empowered also to perform that particular task, because Krishna wanted his entire entourage to be relieved from the material world. So that was one arrangement that they were able to remove themselves from the material world. So Krishna made those arrangements, and he empowered each and every one of them with the required powers and energy to carry on his mission. That's the way the Lord operates.
I just wonder what actually happened to the queens at that point when Krishna couldn't protect them.
Yeah, that's probably a whole nother story. I know in full detail, but I have a little bit. It's better, it's going to be pretty long. Yeah, Madam Mohan Prabhu?
Generally, it's seen that a devotee is supposed to be simple and not manipulative or cunning, things like that in the material world. But in the spiritual world, here the way that was presented, that Radharani actually had she was manipulating Krishna by her going into this mood of pride, so she knew that Krishna would react with anger and then this would happen. So that's, can you explain the difference then between simple, which means you're not manipulating, you're just being simple in your consciousness.
And okay, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that everything can be used in Krishna's service. And just one example, one time he was chastising one of his disciples. He was really angry, he was really chastising him. And then, so I'm not sure if that disciple was a servant at the time or not. But afterwards, like after a day or two, he went back and he was apologizing to Srila Prabhupada to act in such a way, whether foolish way or uncultured or un-Krishna conscious way, whatever the situation was, to cause Srila Prabhupada to get so angry and, you know, to disturb him. So then Srila Prabhupada said, no, it wasn't like that. He said, when I was chastising you, I was praying to Krishna that, oh Krishna, I cannot save him, you please do. So that was Srila Prabhupada's mood in doing that. So then he, you know, and another time he explained that you can use anger, you can use pride, there are different things you can use in Krishna consciousness. But it takes a qualified devotee to appropriately apply these different things. For us, at least for me, you know, the slightest thing, I get what we call, like, that's where the word false come in, false pride. So when I first heard that term, pride and false pride, I thought, you know, what does this mean? I got really confused. Because pride's supposed to mean, like, you know, false ego. But then there's a word false comes in front of it, false pride. So what is the difference between false pride and pride? Does it mean the same thing? From different angles, apparently not. So when one intensely wants to serve the Lord, like Srila Prabhupada, we saw that many times Srila Prabhupada would address people as, you know, really bad words, you know, asses and get on, especially like the Mayavadis, you'd get on their case and you would get so rough sometimes. When I read it in his books, I get scared. I'm not even there, but just reading it, I'm kind of shivering. So imagine the intensity of when Srila Prabhupada was there, or the disciples who were around him, what it was like. But he was using that in Krishna's service. He knows how to use that. So similarly, Radharani knows how to use that pride in Krishna's service. Maybe we try to imitate that. At least for me, I'll get myself in a lot of trouble. Thank you very much. Anything else? Okay, so I guess we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.